Welcome to episode 117 of the Piano Pantry Podcast, a place where we embrace all that living the life of an independent music teacher entails. I'm Amy Chaplin. This podcast is brought to you ad-free by some pretty special people over on Patreon. At the MTNA conference in March, I was chatting with teacher friend Diana Tritipo, who told me she kept meaning to join my Patreon, but every time she thought about it, she wasn't in a place to do it. 4 days later, I saw her name come through. Thanks, Diana, for helping bring this content to you guys today. Joining is pretty easy from your desktop or device. You can either visit patreon.com or download the Patreon app. If you log into the app, you're going to click on the magnifying glass icon in the bottom right-hand corner to search for the Piano Pantry Podcast, or you can then join at the $4 or $7 per month level. These past few weeks, we've covered topics related to year-end events, such as recital awards, alternatives to student evaluations, and the case for your no makeup policy. Today, we're going to talk about business evolutions. I want to encourage you to look at your business not as something that has to pick one format and stick with it for years on end, but as a living, breathing thing that is flexible and can and should evolve. This can happen at two different levels, at a micro level, where you are making small tweaks and improvements, or at a macro level, which might involve a complete 180. While making adjustments in our studios can be a conversation related to our actual teaching, chosen methods, resources, and processes, in today's episode, we're talking more about the business side of things, such as lesson formats, offerings, and policies. You'll also hear some of the macro adjustments I'm making to my own studio design this year. Let's get going. Pete Jutris, professor of piano and piano pedagogy and director of the Hugh Hodgson School of Music at the University of Georgia, presented a session at the 2024 MTNA conference on the future of music teaching. Pete is one of those people who, when he presents, I'm there. He shared a lot of research he's been doing over the years on trends in music education and ways we can respond. One thing that stood out in particular to me was an example of how the music recording industry has adjusted to societal change. They moved from selling physical recordings of entire albums to paying for individual song downloads for 99 cents each to streaming. Shockingly, the numbers show revenue has risen 29% as the industry continued to reinvent itself through changes in society and technology. One of Pete's big findings was that data doesn't indicate people are walking away from the arts, but they are walking away from some of the traditional delivery mechanisms. Right away, this statement got me brainstorming. For example, lack of student practice is one thing that teachers complain a lot about. Here are a couple what-ifs in response to this dilemma to ponder. What if you ran private weekly lessons, but also had a small keyboard lab and offered monitored practice sessions in small groups that students could sign up for each week? What if you ran classes that met twice a week for 30 minutes rather than once a week for an hour? What if you tried a buddy lesson format where two students come for an hour instead of just 30 minutes, but they rotate 15 minutes with you, then 15 minutes to a keyboard to practice, then back to another 15 minutes with you, then 15 minutes to practice? You could then flip-flop who starts the lessons with you each week. I mean, right there, we have three very possible variations on what it could be like to design our lesson offerings around a pain point. Yet, we are incredibly stuck on our traditional once-a-week private lessons. Don't get me wrong, I still do weekly private lessons. I just want us to keep our minds open to considering that if you are struggling to get students or if you're tired of the same old and need to shake things up in your studio, the doors are wide open to creative formats. Essentially, what we're talking about here today is rethinking and allowing yourself to make adjustments and experiment at whatever level or need you desire. Let's take a look at what micro and macro adjustments could look like in your studio. Now, some of these might be hard to tell if they're actually micro or macro. They might feel like they're kind of in between, but I'm going to do my best to segment these examples. Micro adjustments are the best type, in my opinion, because they require little effort or shakeup, but have the potential to be just what you or your students need to keep things fresh or to fit with where life leads. Here are some examples. You could build in a 2-week spring break instead of taking just 1 week off so that you can attend a conference. We talked about this in episode number 113 on taking time off. You could build in a free flex week for yourself as a teacher to cancel without having to make up. Rather than raising prices 1 year, perhaps you could move from a 33-school-week calendar to a 32-week one. You could change up what recital themes you offer for the next year. You could move everyone from a 40-minute lesson into 45-minute lessons. Maybe you move all of your 40-minute students into overlapping buddy lessons. Everyone would still have a 40-minute lesson, but you overlap it with another student for 10 minutes, and on and on and on. The ability to make little tweaks like this is a beautiful benefit of running our own business. I like to just put a general blanket statement in my studio policies that says, lesson offerings and performance opportunities may vary slightly from year to year. If you make little adjustments each year or so, it will just be expected and not feel like such a shock. Now, macro level adjustments, however, are a little more involved. Examples of more significant changes might be things like moving from a per lesson rate to a flat monthly rate, moving all students to a group lesson format, moving to online lessons only, no longer allowing makeup lessons. Listen into last week's episode for more on that. Moving away from optional summer lessons to more of a year-round format that includes a set amount of summer lessons. Now, this last macro level adjustment example is a change that I actually decided to make in my studio for the upcoming year. I've always offered summer lessons because I wanted a lighter summer, so I charged a small holding fee for those opting out of summer lessons to hold their spot for the fall. I would say about 40% generally opted out. Sometimes the need to make adjustments comes upon you like a slow burn, and sometimes it hits you over the head where 1 minute things are going along fine and dandy, and the next you're just suddenly over it and ready to change things up. I love this quote by author and businesswoman Muriel Giuliano, who says in her book, Women, Work, and the Art of Savoir-Faire, she says, "You can wake up one morning and find that your prospects and perspectives have changed overnight. Sometimes it is simply that you are ready to enter a new stage in life and embrace new opportunities and challenges." That's how I felt this year. Like I just woke up and was suddenly ready to streamline and simplify. Let me give you a few more details on changes that I'm making. So first, as I already stated, I'm moving from optional summer lessons to a 12-payment flat monthly rate that includes approximately 33 weeks from August to May and 4 lessons in June and July. The annual registration fee will be absorbed into the flat monthly rates, and there will no longer be holding fees since opting out of summer is no longer an option. I'm also not accepting annual payments. All payments will be set up on automatic withdrawal through CoinHop, my payment processing app of choice, until they discontinue lessons. This will help minimize having to go through the process of invoicing and will simplify. I'm also hoping this design will minimize the amount of prep work that usually goes into the start of fall lessons and will remove the feeling of needing to transition back into lessons while still giving everyone a bit of a breather so we don't get burnt out. Another significant change I made is that I will no longer do group classes 6 times a year in lieu of the lesson that week. I'm actually a little shocked about myself on this one. I have been a big proponent of this arrangement for years, which you'll know if you've listened to episode 3 of this podcast called Group Class Scheduling Experiences and Ideas. I love group classes, but this year I just really started to tire of organizing the schedule every 6 to 8 weeks and having a hiccup in their private lesson time. The missed week always seemed to slow their progress. Part of the reason I always loved having the group class week was that it helped give me a breather to the regular schedule. What I've realized is that that particular format was very important to me when I was teaching 35 to 40 students, but now that I'm in the low 20s, I don't feel like that's needed. What I want now is simplicity and consistency. I'll definitely still offer group classes. That aspect to me is important, but they will be more sporadic and considered a bonus. The way that I stated it in my policies was that there may be 4 to 10 classes per year and that the dates and times would vary. They'll be conducted in more of a performance and musicianship class way so that they can be multi-level and will make it easier for students, no matter their level, to attend together. In the past, I did them more as same level classes so that I could play a lot of theory games and such with the kids. Macro level adjustments will likely require a complete overhaul of your policies and very direct and intentional communication with your clients. Significant changes aren't always easy, but the biggest thing to remember when making cultural change is to communicate the benefits to your customers. Don't focus on why you need these changes, but what the changes will do for them. I was planning on most of these changes last year, but rather than doing it right away, I gave all my current clients a verbal heads up so they knew it was coming the following year. Giving a year's notice is definitely not necessary. I very well probably could have just notified them 2 months ahead of time, but since this felt like a fairly significant change to me, I decided to prompt the changes ahead of time. Last week, when I sent the updates email, I attached the new policy form and made it clear that the action that was needed from them was for them to sign a simple digital form acknowledging they received the new policies, understood them, and were planning to continue lessons as of the June 1st start date. Rather than just attaching the new policy PDF and calling it a day, I took extra time to highlight the major changes, noting what the old policy was and how it was changing. Because I know that you all love getting extra help with these details, I'm including one of these statements in the show notes so you can see exactly what I mean. So basically, while I attached the PDF of the new policies, I put some bullet points inside the email to highlight those big changes. At the end of the email, I used 4 bullet points to then recap, in a nutshell, what these changes meant for them. It stated things like, the weekly schedule from August to May will be consistent with no schedule changes for group class weeks. You will get 6 more private lessons between August and May, and the group classes will be more of a performance musicianship class. Those who used to opt out of summer lessons will now be taking some lessons. This will be a time for us to review and maintain skills. There isn't a backslide period or time wasted to readjust. There's no stopping and starting of payments, nor assessing separate fees for summer, registration, holding fees, and so forth. Your monthly payments will be continuous until you discontinue lessons. So, teachers, whether you are making micro or macro adjustments to your studio offerings and policies for the upcoming year, just look at it as an opportunity to experiment, learn, and grow with both your students' needs and your own as a business owner. If you're stressing over changes in your studio, which I totally get, and would feel better having someone to talk it out with you, I would be happy to help you through your time of change. You can find the link to my consultation service, as well as everything I mentioned in today's episode, at pianopantry.com/podcast /episode117. Two more quick things before we go today, friends. If this topic has sparked your interest and you have a local or state association that is making plans for the upcoming year, I have a whole session around this topic called Evolutionary Entrepreneurialism: Grow Your Studio One Yes at a Time. I would love to come and share it with your group. Also, I know a lot of you are just now getting around to planning your summer. If you would love to use some of that time to dig in and get your digital workspace in order, consider attending my digital organization retreat, which will be held Wednesday, June 12th through Saturday, June 15th. The $345 fee includes all of your breakfast and lunch meals for 3 days, accommodation, evening drinks and snacks, and all the coaching I provide. It's a pretty sweet deal if you ask me. As Gabrielle, one of last year's attendees, stated, she said, "Amy's retreat is a brilliantly thought out and unique experience that every teacher could benefit from. She was so patient with us, helping us understand and set up organizational systems. She's a wonderful host with a beautiful house and delicious food that you'd expect from a top-tier bed and breakfast. Top to bottom, it was worth every dollar." Visit pianopantry.com/retreat to register. See you next week.